Again. Okay, the Shia is on the Easter of Chadash and Chadash and Yashan. We start with the Pesukim in Emor. Perek Chav Gimel, beginning with Pasuk Tet. Pasuk says, Vedav Hashem Moshe Leimor. Dabu Mnei Yisrael Vermat Aleim, Ki Tavo El Haaretz Asher Ni Noten Lachem Kutzartem Et Ketira, Vavitem Et Omer Yishit Kitzachem El HaKohen. So you have to bring this Korban HaOmer, which is the Korban Mincha. And it tells you how you do the Korban Mincha, and you have to do Tznufa, and you have to, how much you have to bring, and then the Nisachim of the Yayin. And then in Pasuk Yudalit, it says, V'lechem v'kali v'chamel lo tochlu adetam ayom azeh adu v'yachem et korban alokeichem chukat alom dorotechem v'chol moshvotechem. That you're not allowed to eat bread and the grain products until you bring the korban ha'omer. So grain products are asur until you bring the korban ha'omer. Now what does that mean in practical terms? So Chazal explained as follows. Any wheat which was planted during the year, at any time during the year, once it was planted and it took root, usually 3 days, okay. Once the wheat took root, I can't eat that wheat, and it's not only wheat, it's any of the five grains, wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt. I can't eat any of the five grains until after the Korban HaOmer was brought. So wheat that was planted 5 years ago, I don't, you know, I can eat, because the Korban HaOmer was brought 4.5 years ago, right? So, but any wheat that was planted since the last bringing of the Korban HaOmer, I mean, it's actually 3 days before, I said, okay, since the last bringing of the Korban HaOmer, so can't be eaten until the next bringing of the Korban HaOmer. Now, sometimes, as we'll see a little bit more in detail, this is not a problem, because sometimes you plant the wheat during the winter and you harvest it during the summer. So there was automatically a Korban HaOmer that came in between. And therefore that wheat, by the time you harvest it, is automatically mutar. But if you planted wheat in the early summer, after Pesach, this is so kidding. If you planted wheat in the early summer and you harvested it in the fall, then you can't eat any of those, can't eat any products from that wheat until after the Korban HaOmer is brought. Now, you can come along and ask me, we have a big problem, because if we have to wait for the Korban HaOmer, we're never going to be able to eat anything, because there is no Korban HaOmer. So in actuality, the Pesukim mention two things. The Pesukim mention the lechem v'kalim v'chamel lo tochlu ad etzem hayom hazeh ad aviyachem et korban alokecha. You can't eat it until this day, until you bring the korban. So Chazal understand this as follows. When there is a Beis HaMikdash and you're bringing the korban, by the way, which day did you bring the korban omer? Second day of Pesach, that's when we start counting Svirat HaOmer. So on Tet Zayin Nisan, when is the Beis HaMikdash? So as soon as you brought the Korban HaOmer, you can go and eat the new grain. When there is no Korban HaOmer, so then we have to wait till the end of the day. We don't wait till the beginning of the day, because then we're worried that when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, we'll say, hey, last year I ate my breakfast, I ate my Cheerios early in the morning before the Korban HaOmer. I remember after breakfast. So we have to wait till the end of the day. So we wait till the end of Tet Zayin Nisan, and therefore beginning on Yud Zayin Nisan, we can eat the new grain. In Chutzlar, it's because of Sfeika the Yoma, so we have to wait one more day. So it's not permissible until you chet Nisan. So, practically speaking, in the time of Beit HaMikdash, as soon as the Korban HaOmer is nikrav, you can eat the new wheat. When there's no Beit HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael, we wait till the end of Tet Zayin Nisan, meaning until Leil Yud Zayin Nisan, and the Chutzlar to wait one more day because of Sfeika the Yoma to Leil Yud Chet Nisan. Okay. Now, how come very few people pay attention to this rule. Happens to be Psukkim in the Torah, right? Some Yesh Omrim in the Mishnah Berurah or somewhere, right? Psukkim in the Torah. How can so few people pay attention to this rule? So the discussion begins, if you take a look at page 1 of the Makarov. Discussion begins with two Mishnayos. The Mishnah Masechet Orlos, that's the first Mishnah in the upper right, says HaKadosh, the new wheat, until Yimak V'Yomer, HaKadosh also min HaTorah B'chol Makom. Now what does B'chol Makom mean? Everywhere you live. Why would I have thought otherwise? What? Why? Okay. And Shulma Samaisos, and we have a general rule. What kind of mitzvahs are generally known in the United Israel? Mitzvot HaTorah Baretz, things that are agricultural kind of mitzvahs. Shulmos, the Maisos, and Shemitah, Bikurim. So I might have thought the Chodesh is an agricultural mitzvah. So I might have thought that it's Noheg only in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah Noah tells us, no, that's not true. It's Noheg even in Chutz La'aretz. Why? Because the Torah says, Chukat Olam V'Dorotecheh, B'chol Mosh V'Otecheh. What's B'chol Mosh V'Otecheh? Wherever you live. So, based on that, wherever you live, that's why the Mishnah says it's not given in Chutzlah. However, there's a Mishnah Masechet Kiddushin, which is in the upper left. The Mishnah Masechet Kiddushin says, Kol mitzvah shehi tzluya ba'aretz, eino noheges ela ba'aretz. V'she'eina tzluya ba'aretz, noheges bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutzlah. And there are two exceptions. There are two exceptions of mitzvot ha'tluya ba'aretz, which are noheg in chutzlah. What are they? Orla and Kelayim. Orla is knowing in Chutz La'aretz, and Kelayim is knowing in Chutz La'aretz. Ah, what's not mentioned as an exception? Chadash. So obviously the Tana of the Mishnah holds that Chadash is knowing only in Eretz Yisrael. But the Mishnah continues. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Af Mina Chadash. But the Rav holds that there are three exceptions. Orla, Kelayim, and Chadash are all noeg in Chutzlah. So obviously, who is the author of the Mishnah, the first Mishnah Masechet Orla? Rabbi Eliezer. And the Mishnah in Orla just quotes Rabbi Eliezer. The Mishnah in Kiddushin quotes two opinions. One, how do we pass? So Eliana says, I guess we passed him out like Rabbi Eliezer. Why does Eliana say that? Because nobody that we know, or hardly anybody that we know, really cares about Chadash and Yashan in Chutz La'aretz. So that would be a wonderful, wonderful assumption. The problem is that basically everybody, almost, you see, Paskins like Rabbi Eliezer. Even though Rabbi Eliezer seems to be a da'at yachid against the Chachamim, but what leads one to believe that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer? First of all, the pasuk, the chomos shvoteichem, and the Mishnah in Orla, which quotes only the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. But let me mention the pasuk. What does the Tanakama in the Mishnah in Kiddushin do with the pasuk? What do you do with the chomos shvoteichem? So he understands that to mean la'acha yerusha v'yeshiva. In other words, it's only in Eretz Yisrael after they inherited the land and settled. It took 14 years for Yeshua to capture and settle the land. So the mitzvah of Chodesh was only knowing once they were settled in. That's how the Tanakhama understands it. The problem is that, and we'll come back to this point later, the problem is that all the Rishon and Paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. So why in the world in Chutz La'aretz does hardly anybody pay attention to the mitzvah of the Yisur of Chadash and Yashan? So we'll take a look and see what the various Rishonim suggested. The Rosh in the source under Masechet Orla, the Russian is Tshuva, quotes the opinion of Rabbeinu Baruch. He says, V'divrei Rabbeinu Rabbi Baruch, ma'od heim tmuhim. What does it mean, ma'od heim tmuhim? Very surprised. What did he write? Shekatav, v'afilum gadla b'shut Yisrael, atav v'chutz la'aretz. He says, now even if grain grows in, it's grown by a Jew, it's a part of his property, in chutz la'aretz, she'ein anu smuchim la'aretz Yisrael, we are not close to Eretz Yisrael geographically. Near Lahatir, the Logazru Afilu Midrabanan Dum Yedemaiser, the Logazru Alabuchutzla Tzasmuchal Eretz Yisrael Ad Kam Lashono. Rabbeinu Baruch seems to understand as follows: Mida Oraisa, Orla, not Orla, Chodesh is no egg, only in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Eliezer, who says it's no egg, even in Chutz La'aretz, was talking A, neither Rabbanan, and B, only in those countries which were geographically close to Eretz Yisrael. Why only in those countries? Because we don't want the guy to cross the street, you know, walk out of the boundaries, and all of a sudden, here Chadish is knowing, and here Chadish is not knowing. So in the outlying, the countries which bordered on Eretz Yisrael, so Mitrabanan, they were Gozer and Yisra Chadish. But they were never, ever, ever Gozer and Yisra Chadish in countries that are far away from Eretz Yisrael. Now these Dvarim HaTmuim, says the Rosh, it's not Masha from the Gemara, which Dasha says in the Pasuk of Rechom Moshmoteichem, we don't find it, any sort of remez ladavar, right? Especially the language of the Mishnah in Masechet Orla is Achadash also min haTorah Chol Makom. Doesn't sound like Chol Makom is close to Eretz Yisrael. Chol Makom normally sounds like everywhere. But that's Rabbeinu Baruch Shita. So Rabbeinu Baruch said that the whole Yisrael Chadash and Chutz La'aretz is only on places that are close to Eretz Yisrael geographically, places that are far away, the European continent, the North American, the South American continent, etc. Certainly they would never go there. But they're very, very strange. Okay. So what's our next option? If we don't rely on Rabbeinu Baruch. So let's go to the tour. Tour, first of all, gives us some background. Ktiv, Alechem, Mekalim, Chamel, Osochel, Aretam, Yamazer, Shasel, Lecho, Mitzvos, Chamish, Aminim, the five grains, wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt, that Shiikra, Vahomer, Shu, Vishisha, Sabanisa. This is Anog, Vain, Dismanabai, Vain, Shalob, Dismanabai, Vain, the Aretz, Vain, the Chutz, Laret, Vain, Vishal, Yisrael, Vain, Vishal, Goy, Elish, Bizman, Shomer, Karet, Mutter, Miyad, Vishisha, Sabanisa, Nakar, Achara, Kravasa. The time of the Beit HaMikdash on the 16th day of Nisan. You're standing in your shalayim and you hear that, okay, the Maksim Kovan Omer, quickly run and eat your Cheerios. Lakrovim, Sheyor, Sheyodim, Shekfan Yekara, those who were close to the Beit HaMikdash Kiri right away. Larachokim, Yichutzla, Nechatzot Velach. You lived in Beit Shemesh and you didn't have cell phones or the telegraph, so you didn't know whether the Maksim Kovan Omer, so you could wait until Chatzot. But certainly by Chatzot, Kohanim Zuzamein, they would have been Maksim the Korban. The whole 16th day of Asr, for even the Shanosim Shnei Yamim, and because of Yom Tov Shem Shagolios, from Chutz La'aretz Asr Kol Yom Shivasar, Atchilos Yoreil Shmona Asar, Mishum Shul Savik Yom Shishasar. You have to wait one extra day in Chutz La'aretz. Great, okay, fine. Why does nobody wait? Vein Omer Matir Letuah Shemishu Shakodim HaOmer, it only is Matir Letuah that took root before the Omer, Aval Amnon Lishu Shakodim HaOmer Matira. But if it didn't take, if it was planted afterwards, it didn't take root until after the Omer, you have to wait till the next Pesach. Kaza Vadoni Yabi Arash Tal. So the Torah quotes his father, B'tshuva. Vadai b'chol ha'shonu mein lachush. Now, most years, you don't have to, because all years, we'll see all years as we know. Basically, you never have to worry about chadash. Why? Ein lachush misavik ala tzvur la'osra. Shem lo mishu shakodim, v'samchim la'aruba shimishu nishreshu kodim la'omer. It says, first of all, most wheat is planted before the Pesach and harvested after Pesach. So go after the majority. I don't have, my wheat doesn't come with a yichus tzetel, it doesn't come with its lineage exactly when it was planted. But you don't have to worry about it. Most wheat was planted in, before Pesach and harvest and afterwards. You don't have to worry, you don't have to come along, I don't know my specific wheat, let me lie in the road. And then he writes, V'od, Shul Svek Svekim. There's a double safek working in your favor. Shemi mitzvah shana shavra. First of all, wheat lasts for a long, long time. It doesn't spoil. It's not like a pear that's going to spoil if you keep it around for months. Wheat can last for years. So first of all, the wheat that you're eating may have come from last year. And even if it's this year's wheat, maybe it was planted before Pesach. So first of all, it could be last year's wheat. And even if it's this year's wheat, maybe it was planted before Pesach. Okay. Now the rush continues. Va'ata, in that year that he's writing this tshuva, listening at Pesach, Nasati Alibi Yan Simi Yan Shi Yimei Imri Hagoyim Ari Befrosa Pesach. So in that specific year, there was a double problem. The Goyish holidays, he simply means like Easter, Lent, I don't know exactly what, probably Yimei Inui, so Lent, they don't do things for 40 days. Probably very familiar with Goyim over there. So it was just before Pesach. And also, there was frost very late. Very few people planted before Pesach. Almost everybody started planting after Pesach. Ooh, problem. V'lo milani libi le'asor. But I didn't have the heart to tell everybody it's asor. Ulai lo yishmu li, because maybe they won't listen to me. I'm only the rush. Like, why would they listen to me? What? It's the Torah called his father. Who's the Rush, right? He says, "Ukasav Adoni Abi Rush." Vani meishim lashoalim, and people who ask me, they ask me the shailas. I tell them, "Bishumeis ovei hadama im yomu sharov nisha shlutnei pesach mutav lavaser." Ask the farmers if they tell you most of their wheat was planted before Pesach, when it actually took root. Not just planted; it's an extra 3 days takes root. So fine. But if they tell you most of it was planted after Pesach, can't even. V'gam ani zachur, and I remember minu urai in my youth, pa'mayim v'sholosh yimeinu yagoni mayi b'chos ha'Pesach sh'rabos ha'nagu yisr. That my rebbeim, who know it in Yisr, could be the Marami Rutenberg, who's primary rebbe, that there were some years that because of Lent, I guess, whatever it was, the goyim didn't plant until after Pesach, and my rebbeim were knowing not to eat the new crop. But they never paskin for everybody. It's just personal chumah. The ahasam chinon, and that's what we rely on, that they didn't paskin the iso. Ve'eini mora iso. And I don't tell people it's also. You know why? The mutav shiyu shogegin v'ayu meizidin. Better that they should do it the shoge. Because if I tell them it's also, they won't listen to me. And then they'll be amazing. Show me about your amazing. Gahoret! Somebody really scrupulous, Yifrosh, you should stay away. Atkan. End quote from the truth. So, what it comes out is that in most years you didn't have to work. But in some years, depending on when the Christian holidays were, and depending on how late the frost was, he really did have to worry. But he won't publicize the Nisra, because better not to tell people, Mutav Shishogeg in Vayu Meizidin. Not exactly the most, well, it does help for most years, but it doesn't help for all years. And I guess it would depend, like, if Pesach was, so to speak, early or late. If the earlier Pesach is, the worse of a problem you'll have a bigger problem. If Pesach is later, you'll have less of a problem.
I understand why we can, if it's like, it seems like it's really pretty good, right? So I don't understand why, like, you like, oh, yeah. I don't mention it, like, oh, yeah. I feel like a lot of the
restaurants
seem like it's like not a
really
big deal, but...
Like, it's, no, it's not so much of a big deal. Ow! Somebody's just like, right?
No, I don't know.
So, the point is that to be masked on the Asha, we'll see you a little bit later. It was not only the bread that was the problem, which was almost all of their drinks. What did they drink? What? There was, wine was one thing. Wine wouldn't be a problem.
Beer.
That seems to be what they drank. They didn't have orange juice. They didn't have apple juice. They didn't have soda. They drank shaker. That was the drink. That was the Chamar Medina. Beer is pure chametz. So we'll see exactly how. We'll see soon. But it seems the Sheikha, it was like an impossible thing to demand of the master. He said, we're going to come up, we're going to say it's auspicious here, and they'll say, what are you talking about? It's never been auspicious. I saw the rabbi last year, and 2 years ago, and 3 years ago, and 4 years ago. Don't tell me it's auspicious.
Why did
it regress to that? What?
Why wasn't it always kept?
So why wasn't it always kept? So according to the Rush, the answer would be that most years there wasn't a problem. Because they relied on the rope. We always rely on rope, but don't write stuff. Oh, so nowadays, we'll get him. You have Rabbi Herman's guide to Chadash, and you can start checking exactly when. In those days, they didn't have the ability to start checking. They didn't know exactly, you know, which products came from which wheat, which came from the rope. They relied on the rope. Medicines rely on rope, you're right. But then there came the exceptional years, and people would listen in the exceptional years. So that's the Torah quoting the Rush. You read the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Tzadik Gimel. So the Ramah in Seif Gimel writes as follows: Hagah, when we come close down to a Shari Lacha Pesach, your average tzvua is okay. We call Svek Sveka, Safikim Mishana Shabra, Vimkim Salama Mishana Zum, we come come. Maybe it's from a year ago, and even if it's from this year, maybe it took root before Pesach, so you don't have a problem, you rely on the rope, it's like Sveika. I'm quite certain that's a typographical error. Lacha Pesach? Did you notice it's spelled with a Saf, not a Samach? I assume it's a typographical error. Unless we say that most of the grain was imported and it was imported from lands where they planted it before Pesach, but if you know it comes from after Pesach, then you have to be machmir. When winter extends till after Pesach, b'chol ha'golel ahu zorim lachar Pesach, and in the whole geographical area, they plant after Pesach, z'vorim ha'neskorim yesh lahachmir, you have to be machmir, v'lochash min ha'tzah. Aval ein lo ha'v ha'cherim b'mokom shorok sh'tiyot ha'vachilos v'minim ein lo, when places where most people rely for eating and drinking on these grains, don't pass them for the tzibur, t'imutav sh'shogig in v'alyum mezidin, better shogig than mez. So, for many years, we rely on the row. For the exceptional years, really, should be us, but don't tell it to everybody. Yes?
So we not have the many years where it's okay anymore because we just process and process it out and, like, whatever is so complete to it, that, like, it's not that you can assume.
We'll see. So we're stuck. So let's go to page 2. The Bach comes to the rest. Hey. So we're not going to read the whole Bach. But the Bach comes along with a tremendous speech. He's not going to rely on Rolf, and he's not going to rely on Zweckzweck, and he's not going to say Mutter Shishogig and Vayu Mezid, and he's not going to talk about it's only knowledge in certain places. And Chutzlaitz, no, he says, we bask it like Rabbi Eliezer. And Chodesh is going in all of Chutzlaitz. But don't worry about the Rolf, and don't worry about the this, and don't worry about, it's not a problem. Because Chodesh is only knowledge on grains that are grown by Jews. Grains that are grown by non-Jews is no Easter Chodesh. And there were no farmers, hardly any, for various political and religious reasons. There were almost no Jewish farmers around. Everybody was a guy. There's no problem. Now he writes as follows. The Gemara doesn't say explicitly whether Chodesh applies to grain grown only by Jews or even by non-Jews. So the Rish and the Rosh and the Rambam don't mention explicitly either. The problem is, I'm not going to go into it all now, but the problem is that the Balei HaTosfot write based on Yerushalmi. It's mashma from the Yerushalmi that Chodesh is noheg by grain of goyim as well. That's what it's mashma like the Tosfos. And therefore, the Rosh and his tshuva, and the Tor, and the Rav Yoh, and the Maram, all followed in the footsteps of the Tosfos. So they all followed the footsteps of the Tosfos. Knowing even by non-Jews. But, he says, that's not going to be known. And if you take a look at the end of this first paragraph, in the bold print, Amnam, he writes, Amnam ha-minak pashut b'malchuteinu linog heter v'akdole ha-tora shayu lefaneinu v'arino ha-rab Reb Shachna v'arino ha-rab Reb Shlomo Luria v'marshal Reb Shlomo Shachna v'akdole ha-dor of their time. V'talmideim lo yu osrim v'shotem ha-sheikha v'shenasem mitvua shlo yitira omer zulat miktat chasidim yikorov nizaru v'yisazer. There were a few very, very religious, scrupulous people who didn't drink the beer. Everybody else, the Pshon Shachna and the Marshal and all the Talmidim, nobody was makpid. These are people who were makpid on every detail in halacha. They're not Mutar Shishogi Vayumezidim people. It must be, my theory is right, because we pask in that it's not noeg in the Tvuah of a non-Jew, only in the Tvuah of a Jew. People said differently. He brings proofs back and forth. And then he writes, he's convinced that he's right, and if you look at the end of the second paragraph with that little finger pointing, V'lachet ein l'shum gadol l'horos horah l'isur hefech aminat shenogu al-pi gdoli Yisrael l'hetech. No gadol has the right to come along and pass in the tzotzer, because the gdolim, the pshachna, the marshal, the tamidim, they all pass in the hetter. No one's allowed to pass in the east. Misha rotza l'achmi l'atzmo, midas chasidus. You want to be machmir, that's fine, that's a midas chasidus. The layora l'acherim, but don't pass in that out loud. And not don't pass in that out loud because people won't listen to you. Don't pass in that out loud because that's not the psak. The psak is only wheat grown by Jews. The lolesim in Sriya because it's going to create quarrels. The daska v'nisha hurga v'sha'a prishos and refers from the chasid v'asha'a din ar-vishra gambazov. And who's allowed to be machmir? Only somebody who's very, very scrupulous about his behavior in all other areas, he's the only one who's allowed to be machmir. In other words, he's not allowed to be machmir. And you certainly can't pass in front. Solve the problem. Except for 2 things. 3 things maybe. So. Shana was not happy. Why Shana was happy?
I don't know why, like...
I mean, we don't need all things. He has certain rights. Why is that?
Sure. I guess, like, what is it? If you have, like, potentially to go, like, so why are you trying to find...
The Minhag is not that way. You're more religious than the Marshal. The Marshal wasn't knowing. Shapner wasn't knowing. The Gedolim Yisrael wasn't knowing. Science could be knowing. No, but people were knowing and people yelled about it. In other words, the women weren't covering their hair, and the Gedolim and Nissa yelled about it, but they've been out. I know, and they said that, but they, that doesn't mean that it was, they did it with approval.
Oh, and they
didn't prove it alive. Yeah, they're talking about the Shalom Shachner, the Marshal used to drink the beer. I saw him drinking the beer. It's too rough. Go back to page 1. First of all, Shachnaf doesn't pass him like this. In Reish San Gimel, Sifbet, Shachnaf says, Yisra'a Chadish, knowing Bein Varet, Bein Bechutz Varet, Bein Bishel Yisrael, Bein Bishel Aku. Okay, Max is no problem. We're about to show an hour. Asking like Mashada, that's the first time Max disagrees. But, you think we're at the very bottom of page 1, in the Be'er Agra, he writes, Habach Kishitato, he follows his line of thinking, the Svir Alei Eino Noit V'Shalakum. Because he also doesn't apply to Goyim. Ukvarhiku al kado kol achronim. But already all the achronim hit him over the head. Ushkabe yotza mitachat yadav. And what he wrote was a mistake. Meaning the Bach is wrong. It's plain wrong. Okay. So, we'll attempt our last chapter. The Taz, on the bottom of page 1, he says, the Imkein, Yesh lanu ladun v'lomar, the dindinot elu shuhu shas hadchak, the chayev shal adam toli v'shtiyat shecha sa'orim v'shibolat shu'al, that's the only thing you have to drink, k'dayu ha'atana kama, Lismo cholav b'shas hadchak, kem delo ifsik halacha b'feirish b'gmar k'rabi Eliezer. Says the Taz, Gemara never paskin, whether it's like Rabbi Eliezer or like Tanakama. All the Rishon paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. But b'shas hadchak, we can paskin like Tanakama. And b'shas hadchak, you have nothing to drink. And he goes on, b'kom b'kom nirun l'fi an yuzdir, zaitim l'olami tchus hogun ala eta bazeh, We should pass like Tanakam. The Rebbe Lozer, the Yochid, the Rabbi, the Malachi, the Rabbi. Tanakam represents the Shita of Chachomim. Rebbe Lozer is the Das Yochid. We should pass like the Tanakam, which is the Rabbi. Ella, the Pasco, Arif, Arash, Rebbe Lozer. The Arif, the Rosh, the Bam, another is passing like Rebbe Lozer because of the Mishnah Masechet Torah. Nevertheless, the Shas of Chach, we don't pass in that way. The Pasco, in the third bracket, Shalochosh, the Shas of Chach, but there's a Vasot Shalem in the Tchach. But they lived, it wasn't a Shas HaTchak. But where we live is a Shas HaTchak. And therefore we paskin like Tanakama, against Rebbe Lozer, and them. So, we have here, we've exhausted our Hasidim. So it's not a happy camper. You have Rabbeinu Baruch, who says that the Holy Spirit of Chutz La'aretz was only in places that were geographically close to Eretz Yisrael. You have the Tur, the Rosh, and the Rambam, that in most years we rely on Rov, which might mean a Rov in this case. But some years it can't. In those years you're stuck. Don't tell anybody else about it. You have the Bach, who talks L'chatkila. I'm convinced that the way the Bach is talking, that the Bach himself was the Makkah. And certainly he has a chatkila that it's only known by Goyim, by Jews and not by Goyim, and therefore there's no problem. Against the Shulchan Aruch, against the Tosfos, against the Yerushalmi, but it doesn't matter. That's what the minhag was. The minhag passed the minhag differently. And then you have the Taz, who says, the Shabbos Chag, we passed like Tanakama, not like everyone. Historically, things continued the same way that they existed throughout in the Middle Ages, which was that the vast majority of the population did not pay attention to Chodesh and Yashem. They relied on the road. And to the best of my knowledge, you don't hear very many people talking up about it and telling people not to rely on it. Took the advice of the Rosh, the Tur, the Rambam. When Mutar Shishogim volume may see it, or people adopted the position of Bach, maybe Rabbeinu Baruch, and it simply wasn't a problem, and that became the minhag for hundreds and hundreds of years. That was the minhag. The Mishnah Berurah talks about it, like the Din Shulchan Aruch is in Yerodeya. The Mishnah Berurah talks about it in Hilchos Pesach, where he writes. Talks about Svir Sa'omer there, and the list, the if, talks about eating. He writes in the end, says, Va'af she'en bi'adeinu limchos bi'adam ekilim, we can't protest against those who are lenient. Kamakam kol ba'al nefesh lo yismach al heterim halolu, ba'al nefesh shum vilayim yis heterim, v'yach milatma b'chom ha'shev shalom. He should be machmer as much as he can, but the many Rishonim needs the Raisa, you can't protest if you're lenient, but it would be better to be Minach. But the Minach is always with you. I'm not here to tell you to stop being Machted on Yasha. And if you ask my advice right now, I would advise you not to. It is not an easy thing. It's easier now than it was 20 years ago in America. But it's not an easy thing. And it means turning your kitchen at home upside down. You have to buy huge freezers and huge pantries and stock up. It's not at all easy. And so when you get married, you and your husband can sit down and discuss it with the Rav and decide what you want to do, and depending where you're living, etc. But the minhag, even amongst Dolmen and Chutz La'aretz, wants to be Mekel. And those who were Machmir as a Chumrah on themselves. And it's to come along and to start being Machmir is, I'm telling you, it's with your personal kitchen would drive yourself crazy. I was in YU, there were a couple of guys who were machmir. I don't know what they did at home. In the cafeteria, sometimes the only thing that they can eat is french fries. You wouldn't believe it. Like, you can't eat any meat with gravy. What do they put in gravy? Flour. They put flour in gravy. Check it out. You're into baking. So, like, there was, like, nothing that they could eat. They used to put... It's really, you try to do it at home, it's true nowadays there are a lot more pizza stores in the New York area and bakeries that advertise their yashan, and it's a lot easier. But it is still huge jump to come along, and if you ask my advice, I will tell you the minhag is to be mekel, and that's what I would suggest. when you get married, and you want to sit down, and you want to ask a rub, and you want to see, depending where you live, and how capable you are doing it, fine. Now, to the best of my knowledge, in Chutz La'aretz, I don't know if they're even the best of Hachsherim will only give Hachsher on Yashim products. Usually, they'll give on some, you know, sometimes advertise. Yeah, but, you know, you can be invited to every affair, it's whatever it is, and, you know, the best Hachsherim, and there's not much to eat. Now, what's interesting is, if you take a look on page 2, so, if you'll notice, rye, you see when it's planted and you see when it's harvested? So, by the time rye is harvested, it's never chadash. It's always yashim. The only problem is rye bread is not made just from rye wheat. It's a mixture of rye, and wheat. So, we'll see. Barley, if you take a look, is almost always a problem. If Pesach is very late, and they planted the barley early, you might get away with it. But it's almost always a problem. Oats are also almost always a problem. Turn the page. By the way, they use barley for beer, so I don't know why people told you beer isn't a problem.
I don't know. I didn't look it up.
There's another dude that appeared under
a
special
maybe.
And if you take a look under barley, if you go back to page 2.
Barley.
Right. You're in page 2, on the right hand column, under Montana, mm-hmm. Right. Well, the most barley is fed to livestock. 1/4 of the crop is used for malting. Barley is used in soups and other foods. The most barley is consumed in this country by humans is first processed into malt and is used in the production of beer. Now, he writes that old barley seems to produce better malt than the new barley. So, it could be that they used barley from a year ago. I don't know. Okay, come here. Winter wheat, if you'll see, is never a problem. And spring wheat is almost always a problem. Now, what's interesting is, and he writes in here that it's very interesting. Winter wheat and spring wheat are used for different things because they have different properties to them. You know, I would think wheat is wheat, but it's not. One is higher in gluten, one is lower in gluten, one is, I don't know, some is softer, some is harder, some is better used for cookies, some is better used for bread. I think spring wheat is used for bread, and winter wheat is usually used for cakes and cookies. The problem is that sometimes bakeries, depending on the, you know, blend things together because they want to get a certain mixture of sorts. So it is a problem. There's an article here from the Kashas Currents, which summarizes a lot of what we talked about, by Rabbi Heinemann, a little bit more of the practical stuff that goes on. Says, in the United States, about 75-80% of the wheat is winter wheat, which is good. But the question is whether you're allowed to rely on rove if there are ways to determine what, you know, what things are used from, and if you can rely on rove if you know that most breads or this or cooking, you know, different things are made specifically from the spring wheat or the mixtures, so it's not so simple. On page 5 and 6, so this woman who is the founder of Baltimore's Yashin Exchange. And if you know what the Yashin Exchange is, it's a very cute article. And people stock up, but as the year goes along, so what do you do? Like, pasta is a big problem. So you know that the pasta becomes a problem, let's say, in September. So in August, what do? You go to the store and you just buy huge amounts of pasta. Now, sometimes you overbuy, sometimes you underbuy. So they have a Yashin exchange. So you get it close to Pesach, and you ran out of pasta. Right? But you have tons of Cheerios in your house. somebody else has extra pasta, but they're running out of material. So they have a yashan exchange. So, and she gives a list of some things. If you take a look on page 6, she says, when shopping to stock up, be prepared for some interesting encounters. People have looked at my shopping carts full of Cheerios and commented, do you run a daycare center? Boy, you must have a really large family. Well, your family must really like Cheerios. Appropriate responses can be a polite smile as you can just continue down the aisle, or if you think that is something, you should see the cows we keep in the backyard to provide the milk. So, they talk about, they built a closet in their dining room to serve as an extra pantry. The flour that you use, you have to try to make sure that it stays bug-free. Et cetera, all sorts of things. There's a person in Muncie by the name of Rabbi Herman who runs the Garden Chadash, who's been doing it for decades. He started it as more of a very, like you can hardly get a hold of this guy. It's become more and more popular. People who are careful about Chadash in America buy this guy. The guy does tremendous amount of research. He takes a look, he starts examining when they started planting the crops. You know, during the winter, there's a thing, I guess, in the Kansas wheat fields or whatever it is. And he calls up the major production companies. He knows when it's harvested. He knows when it reaches the factories. And if you know how to read, which I really don't, how to read the production dates on cans and boxes in America, for safety reasons, whatever it is, they usually say what day the thing is manufactured. And they'll start saying that you have to get stuff that was manufactured before a certain date. After that date, it's a problem. So sometimes you write here also that if you run out of stuff, you can, if you go to the supermarket, sometimes you can find some of the older cans, like in the back of the shelf, that hadn't been sold yet, that was from the pre-production days. So then you can still find things.
Well, you also look at barcodes.
Barcodes.
You copy the barcode and whatever, it's that's the right barcode.
So there's a people who want to keep Yashan have a tremendous resource over there. Tremendous use. But nevertheless, as you see, it's like it's a tremendous amount of effort. And therefore, at this stage of your life, if you ask my advice, I'm telling you clearly, I don't think this is where it is. There are a lot of things to be careful about. Work on other things first. Because it can drown. When you get married, go and discuss it with your husband, discuss it with the Rav. Find out what you should do, and they're very welcome. And then you, if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, it's generally not a problem. If it's generally not a problem because the week that goes in Eretz Yisrael, they usually only live the week. And all the Badatzim will not give a hefsher on anything that's Chadash. So it's pretty easy, except if you buy them for the price. If you want to buy Cheerios that are manufactured in the United States, then it's going to be a problem. Or if you go visiting the United States, it becomes a problem. That depends. If you visit the United States, anytime you have to use that Nissan until pretty much the end of July, you're pretty okay. But beginning at the end of July is when you start to have problems. And Rabbi Herman's guide can tell you what problems start first. You know, first you start with the rye, or not the rye, with the barley, and then the oats, and then the wheat, and then the this one. So that's the way that it is. Just one interesting tidbit. Rabbi Soloveitchik, who's known to be extremely mafid about Yasha. And when he went to Chicago, like everybody knew that he wouldn't allow people to be, if he was Masada Kiddushin at a wedding, he wouldn't allow people to be Eide Kiddushin unless they were Makpid on Yasha. After they got. This is a well-known thing. A number of years ago, he asked his son, the Chaim Soloveitchik, who lives in Ramat Shemesh, about it. So he told me, father really wasn't so Makpid, the Eide Kiddushin shouldn't be Chodesh. When his father came to Chicago, in those days, a lot of people he noticed that were being appointed the 8-day Kiddushin who really weren't so from. They were Shomer Shabbos, but not so Shomer Shabbos. All sorts of coolness and leniencies. He wasn't happy. But he didn't want to start saying, like, you know, questioning, you know, that person who's really Shomer Shabbos to this. So he came up with a great idea. Without insulting anybody, he said, the person has to be makpid on eating only yasha. So that greatly limited who it was. In this way, he knew the person was makpid, and certainly Shomer Shabbos, etc. That's really why he did it. He didn't do it because he held that somebody wasn't makpid on eating yasha, and it was, like, possible to be in a kiddushin. He just wanted to make sure the guy was Shomer Shabbos, and kashrus, and based on kashrus, Shomer Shabbos, etc. That's what he told me. Okay. Right. Any other questions? All right.